have some things I wanted to share, but I'll just wait till next week. Let me just share two things with you, because it's Father's Day and we don't keep you long, and we've been a little long already. I just want to just share two things with you. Here's number one. Number one, on Father's Day 2026, I believe it is Father's Day, but I'm talking about a woman. I couldn't let her go. Do you see this woman, part two? Because there's just so many rocks that I didn't turn over last week that I wanted to share with you about judging people, about giving people the benefit of the doubt, about releasing people, right? Yep. And just about being grateful, being thankful for what you have. Amen. Yeah. I think today is just a good day. As a matter of fact, I put in my notes. Let me just share this with you. Because when I was taking piano lessons many, many years ago, Mrs. Fleming, that was my piano teacher for a couple years, she had on her wall, Mrs. Fleming had on her wall where I used to take, when I come in to do my lesson. And let me just say this, because I kind of had a bad day today playing the piano. Mrs. Fleming would have been very disappointed in me because I could not remember for the life of me the melody of old church choir. I just couldn't get it. I don't know if you got, I was just stumbling around. I know it was in the key of C major. That's all I knew. You know, I'm sorry, that's all I had. C major, C, E, and G. And, you know, I was just praying that Picard and them would just take it the rest of the way because I just couldn't remember the chords. You never arrive. You got to practice. Yeah. See, typically, I practice on Saturday night the songs that we're going to do Sunday. Y'all think I'd be knowing this stuff from memory from 30 years ago. I'd be knowing this stuff from last night. But last night I didn't know about old church choir. But no problem. So my teacher had on her wall, she had this really great placard that was on the wall that I looked at every time my piano lessons was on Friday at 4 o'clock p.m. And I remember that from 1966. Yeah, 66. I was 12. And the placard said, "I cried because I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet." You've all seen that and heard that. I looked it up on the internet. That's from a 13th century Persian poet who wrote a book called The Rose Garden. And he had that quote in the book. I wanted to give proper attribution to it because I thought it was a great quote. But what impressed me, I was thinking about that this week, and I thought why we should count our blessings. And so I found this thing on Instagram. It was under the category Key to Success. Sometimes I read these things. Sometimes I blow them off. But I found this, and I added a couple of scriptures to it because I think it's just so impressive. But listen to this, because this really was a wake-up call for me. It says, "You complain about traffic." I'm guilty of that. "You complain about traffic because you have a car. You complain about laundry because you have clothes. You complain about dishes because you ate. You complain about packing because you get to travel. You complain about taxes because you earned. You complain about your job because you have one. You complain about a full inbox because people need you. You complain about noise because you have a family. You complain about exercise because your body moves. You complain about wrinkles because you lived. Yes. You complain about gray hair because you made it this far. Yeah. You complain about change because you're growing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. That really impressed me. And I heard, amen. Give God glory. Give God praise. I heard a pastor, there's this podcast I listen to called We Get to Do This. And I love that title because I feel like we get to do this. We get to do this right here. We get to work. We get to sing these praises and have Tiff bless us with that song. We get to enjoy each other's companies. We get to hear Andy on the drums and Lisa on the horn every Sunday. We get to give each other a hug. Amen? We get to hear Rose talk about Father Abraham. Yes. So what a blessing, what a privilege we have that we get to do this. So the pastor's a church down in Texas somewhere, and he was just talking about this particular thing, and I looked it up because I couldn't find it. I just wanted to share because it really blessed me. One other thing before I close, one other thing that blessed me with this week, and that what blessed me this week was St. Luke chapter 7, verse 43, about this question. Marcus, if you could just put that question back on the board one more time for the people on Zoom to be able to see it. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to just say a couple words and sit down. And it says in St. Luke chapter 7, verse 44, actually, if you can put that up, Peyton, Isabella, please. Chapter 7, verse 44, and Luke says this. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer to wash my feet." It says, actually, "You didn't offer to wash the dust from my feet, but she washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume." I'm going to skip down and just read on. Well, let me just read the rest of this part for you. He says, "I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love, but a person who is forgiven little shows only little love." Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." And here's the question I wanted to just leave with you this morning on June 21st, 2026. Then the men at the table said among themselves, and by the way, this is just, again, let me see if I got one here. If I have a brick. I meant to ask you for permission to borrow these, but you were jet setting around the country, so I couldn't. No, just kidding, Andy. I'm going to borrow one, Andy. The men are sitting around the table just hating on Jesus, talking among themselves. They didn't have, listen, they didn't have the courage to say it to Jesus' face. They said it among themselves. They said to themselves, "Who is?" Had it been 2026, they might have said, "Who is this dude? Or who do he think he is? Or what's up with this guy?" If he was from me and Brother Cole's age group, he might have said, "Who is this cat? What's up with this cat?" It says that the men at the table said among themselves, "Who is this man that goes around forgiving sins?" And, just like last week, this was a trigger for me. I love these questions. Now, this wasn't a question that Jesus asked necessarily, because Jesus asked some 305, 307 questions. This was a question that these guys said among themselves, because I feel like they didn't have the intestinal fortitude to actually say it to Jesus. So a couple other questions just popped into my head when I thought about that. Like, for instance, when the disciple says in Mark 8:27, "Who do men say that I am?" Jesus said this. Here's a question that Jesus said. It was just very profound. Again, talking about his identity, he said, "Who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" I hear what you're saying about these other dudes describing me. Some of them think I'm Elijah. Some of them think I'm John the Baptist back from the dead. Who do you say that I am? Who do you think I am? He made the question very personal and very convicting, very introspective. Who do you, what are you thinking? What's going on in you? I asked that question just like these guys said, "Who is this guy that's forgiven sins? Like, what kind of nerve? Where does he get the nerve?" Here's another amazing question that I thought that was asked about Jesus' identity. And this was from John the Baptist, his own first cousin. He said, "Are you the Messiah that we've been expecting, or should we look for somebody else?" Mm-hmm. Come on, John. I'll give John a pass. Dude was in prison when he asked that question. Here's another great question from Herod the king. He said, "So who is this man whom I'm hearing such stories?" Again, referring to Jesus. Here's another question that the Pharisees asked in Luke 5:21. "Who does he think he is?" This is Jesus once again confronting people. Here's a question that the disciples asked. "Who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him?" That's the question that knocks my socks off. They're in a boat really hanging off a dear life. The boat is being tossed and thrown about in an angry sea. And Jesus is down in the bottom of the boat. Wait for it. Taking a nap. I can just see him just like maybe sitting. I can see him reading. He's sleeping. Talking about somebody that got stuff under control. You're sleeping in a storm. I can't even sleep that well when the wind is blowing too hard. Branches knocking up against the house. Lord, is it going to hold up? You know? I mean, he's sleeping. And the disciples say, who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? My last question, the entire city of Jerusalem in Matthew 21:10 said, who is this? Walter Hawkins wrote an amazing song that I love. It's called, What Is This? And it's a beautiful song. Check it out. You'll find it on YouTube. The point is that he's making here is that these people didn't know who Jesus was. And apparently Simon the Pharisee didn't know who Jesus was. I'm asking you, when you leave here this morning, please, this afternoon, please make sure you know who Jesus is. I don't want to assume that everybody in here is a believer, because somebody may look like a believer, they may sound like a believer, they may dress like a believer, but they may not be one. Yep. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to know him, not just about him, but I'd like for you to know him intimately, because he can change your life irrevocably. He can change your life beyond you can describe. I love how Paul puts it in Ephesians 3:20. He says that he can do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Amen. So these questions, it might be worth investigating. I think my son Mark did a little research on questions in the New Testament perhaps, and as conversation starters, he has them, ask him about it. He'll tell you more about it, because I'm probably butchering it, but he's going to use them as conversation starters or on cards. But questions that Jesus asked, questions that are asked in the New Testament, questions that we might be willing to answer for somebody, because the Bible says that we should always be ready to provide what? An answer. An answer for the hope that where? Lies within you. Amen? Amen? With fear, with respect, with reverence. But we should be in a position to answer a question about our salvation. And let me say this in closing. Even if you can't quote scripture, even if you don't know Greek or Hebrew, which you don't need to know, even if you can't cite chapter and verse, even if you can't describe what happened to you theologically, you can always just share your testimony. Like the blind man that was made to see, and they were asking him, like, who did this? Or where is Jesus? Or how did this happen? Or what did you ask him? He said, look, I don't know none of those questions. Here's what the guy said. The guy said, I don't have no answers for y'all. I don't know the man. I don't know where he was born. I don't know his mama. I don't know his daddy. All I know is this. Y'all finish it for me. I was blind, but now I'm seeing. That's called a personal testimony. You may not be able to go into the etymology or the theology or the background or the Christology of your salvation. You don't have to know how to quote John 3:16 or explain Acts 2:38. But one thing you can share with everybody is I was lost. But now I'm found. I was a sinner, but now I'm saved. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day, the Lord's Day, which we honor as Father's Day. Our great Heavenly Father, the Father of all fathers, the greatest Father of all. We thank you, Lord, for this time together. We ask, Lord, that we honor you by coming before you with an offering of thanksgiving, a sacrifice of praise. Be glorified in this service this morning. Be glorified in our lives every day. Be glorified in our words and our deeds and even our thoughts daily, so that we might bring honor to your name. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.